Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his battle.
Ah, yes, it's a battle every day against the forces of evil, brothers and sisters. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. And today we're going to be back in the book of Ezekiel, starting at chapter 27. And it's a funeral dirge for Zoar. They call it Zoar in the English, but that's a mistranslation. It's spelled T-S-O-R. Before I do that, I want to launch into this calendar announcement here. Brother Hebert of North Carolina has put together a beautiful full-color calendar depicting the Hebrew feast days according to Enoch's solar calendar. And each page depicts scenes from the Bible and from our Anglo-Saxon heritage. And if you would like a copy, I know I like mine, just click on the donate button at the top of the page on EFR and send us a donation of $20 or more to get your calendar. Please put the word calendar in the message and give us your mailing address and you will get your calendar forthwith, because the new feast days are coming up, beginning with Passover, starting in the evening on Sunday, April the 2nd. So there we go. I really like mine. It's an interesting piece, I'll say that, and it's got loads of information and everything in it. So, word to the wise. Let's get into chapter 27 of the book of Ezekiel. The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, verse 2, "Now, you son of Adam, lift up a dirge, 7015, for Zoar." There's another dirge that preceded this, Ezekiel 26:17. And they're going to destroy all these cities because of their evil. Verse 3, "And say to Zoar, O you who sits at the entrance of the seas, merchant of people of many seacoasts, thus says the Lord Yahweh, O Zoar, you have said, I am of perfect beauty. Your borders are in the midst of the seas. Your builders have perfected your beauty." And here they're going to use Zoar as a figure of a ship. Verse 5, "They have made all your boards," 3871, "of cypress trees of Senir," 8149. That's an Amorite name for Mount Hermon. And that is where cypress was harvested. "They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for you." Verse 6, "From oak trees of Bashan, they made your oars. From box trees," 8391, "they made your deck boards of boxwood," 839. "Inlaid with ivory," 8127, "from the seacoast of Kittim," 3794, that's the Isle of Cyprus. Just a second, folks, got to clear the pipes. "Embroidered fine linen from Mitzrayim," that's Egypt, they were known for their fine linen from Egyptian cotton. Embroidered fine linen from Mitzrayim was spread out, 4666, to become your sail. Violet, 8504, and purple, 713, from the seacoast of Elisha, 473, was your covering. 4374. Elisha is probably Carthage, another name for Carthage, as Elisha was the son of Yawan, who founded what is called Greece. So that goes way back in the history. Yep, I no sooner get to talking than I have to cough. That lung problem is still with me. Verse 8, the inhabitants of Zidon, 6721, and Arwad, 719, were your rowers, 7751. Your wise men, O Zor, that were in you were your sailors, 2259. Verse 9, the elders of Gibal, 1380, that's a maritime city on the Phoenician coast. And the wise men of it were your repairers of leaks. All the ships of the sea with their mariners, that's 4419, that's Moloch. That is a loan word from Assyria. The ships of the sea with their mariners were your exchangers, 6148, of merchandise, 4627. Verse 10. Men of Paras, 6539, that's Persia. Lud, 3865, that's in Northeast Africa. And Put, P-U-T, 6316, that's Libya, were in your army, 2428, your men of war. They hung shields and helmets in you. They gave you splendor, 1926. Verse 11, the men of Arwad, 719, that's a Phoenician city on an island close to the mainland, north of Tripoli. The men of Arwad with your army were upon your walls all around. And the Gamadim, that's 1575, that means valorous men. Men of valor. The Gamadim were in your towers. They hung their shields, 7982. Upon your walls all around, they have perfected your beauty. 7892 is Shalet, and it can be shields or quivers. And that is uncertain here, but they have translated it as shields, but I wanted to give you the alternate definition. Yeah. 12. Tarshish, that's 8659, that's possibly Tartessus in Spain. It's not certain. Tarshish traded with you because of the abundance of all wealth. Silver, iron, tin, and lead they gave you for your wares. They had mines up on the mainland up above. Oh boy, I need to get a drink of something here. Clear these pipes. Oh, that's better. Yawan, 3120. Tubal, 8422. And Meshech, 4902. They were your traders. Now, Yawan is Greece. Tubal is possibly Cappadocia. And Meshech was a child of Japheth. The tribe in this time was in West Armenia, and later on they moved and they were more northeast than that. They gave you the persons of Adam and vessels of bronze for your merchandise. In other words, white slave trade. Verse 14, from Beth Togarmah, that's the house of Togarmah in southwest Armenia, they gave horses and horsemen and mules, 6505, for your wares. Verse 15, the sons of Dedan, 1719, and he was the son and grandson of Cush. They named it son Dedan, and he named his son Dedan. I guess Junior. Dedan Junior. There were traders with you in many seacoasts for the merchandise in your hand. They gave in exchange gifts of horns, 7161, of ivory, 8127, elephant tusks, and ebony, 1894. Aram traded with you because of the abundance of your manufacturers, 4639. That was Arame, and they are that land is now known as Syria, but it's a different racial group that's in there now. They gave for your wares emeralds, purple stuff, embroidery, fine linen, coral, and agate. Verse 17, Yehuda and the land of Israel, they traded with you. They gave for your merchandise wheat of Minith, and that is that's a 4511, and that's an unknown site in Ammonite territory. They had conquered the Ammonites and took it over, and they grew wheat there. And Panag, 6436, that's some kind of foodstuff, and it's an unknown word. Honey, olive oil, and basalm, 6875. That's Sarion. That's an unknown medication. We don't know what that was. Verse 18, Damasek, that's Damascus, was a trader in the multitude of your manufacturers from the abundance of all wealth. In the wine of Kelbon, that's northwest of Damascus, and wool of Sakar, 6713, that's a type of sheep, and a type of wool, we don't know exactly what it is. Wedon, 2051, that's an unknown location, we don't know where that is these days. And Yawan, go about trading for your wares. Ashoth, 6219, that's the Hebrew. We don't know what 6219 is for sure. It could mean smooth or rot well, well made, maybe polished. From 6245, Ashoth, to be smooth or shiny. But right here, we really just don't know what it is. So you can get your own assumptions off of that. Ashoth iron, cassia, 6916. That's Qidda, Qiddah in Hebrew, and that's an ingredient of sacred oil of anointing. And Calamus, 7070, that's Kane, that's an aromatic reed, and we're in your merchandise. Dedan traded in saddle clothes for riding. Arab and all the chiefs of Kedar, that's Arabia. And Kedar is a tribe of nomads in the Arabian desert. Traded under your power, lambs, 3733, rams, and goats. And these were your traders. In other words, they gave them those on consignment, and they went out and sold them. Verse 22. The merchants of Sheba, 7614. That's in southwest Arabia. And Ramah, 7484. That's a city in the southeast Arabia on the Persian Gulf. They were your traders. They gave your wares, the chief of all spices, and all precious stones and gold. Verse 23. Qaran, 2771. That's in northwest Mesopotamia. And Kane, with a K, K-A-N-N-E-H, 3656. That's in Mesopotamia. And Eden, 5729, that's on the middle Euphrates. That was named Eden, but it was not the Garden of Eden. The traders of Sheba, Asher, and Kilmod, 3638, that's near Baghdad, were your traders. Verse 24, these were your traders in things made perfectly, 4360, in embroidered clothing of violet, and in chests, 1595, of multicolored clothing, 1264, bound with cords and cedar among your merchandise, and they bound them with slips of cedar to keep any bugs out of them. It's like a cedar closet that we have today, and you won't have any moths in that closet. Get another hit of this coffee. And now I'm going to go to ice water. That's better than anything else, really. Verse 25. The ships of Tarshish traveled in trade for you, and you were full and honored greatly in the midst of the seas. Now that's verse 25, verses 25 through 36 in chapter 27. You can reference Revelations chapter 18, verses 11 through 19. Verse 26, your rowers have brought you into mighty waters. The east wind has wrecked you, wrecked is 7765, in the midst of the seas. This is the downhill fall of Zor. Verse 27, your wealth, your wares, your merchandise, your mariners and sailors, your repairers of leaks, and the exchangers of your merchandise, all your men of war that are in you, and all the multitude in the midst of you shall fall into the midst of the seas in the day of your overthrow. Verse 28. The open land, 4054. That's Migrashoth. That's open land around a city, sometimes used as pasture land. The open land shall shake, 7493, at the sound of the cry of your sailors. Verse 29. And all that handle the oar, the mariners and all the sailors of the sea, shall come down from their ships and stand upon the land. Verse 30. And their voice shall be heard against you. They shall cry bitterly and cast dust upon their heads and strew, 6428, ashes, 665, upon themselves. These are all signs of mourning, okay? Verse 31, they shall make themselves bald for you. And shaving the forehead in mourning is a pagan practice, and that's forbidden in Israel, but these were pagan people. That's one of the reasons Yahweh's going to destroy them, because of some of the things they were doing with Israel. And gird themselves with sackcloth, and they shall weep for you with bitter hearts and bitter lamenting. Verse 32. And in their wailing they shall lift up a dirge for you and chant over you, who is like Zoar, brought to silence, 1822, in the midst of the sea. Because Zoar was a huge seafaring city, very powerful, very large, big trader. City of merchants. Verse 33. When your wares came forth from the seas, you enriched many people. That's 7646. You enriched, that's 6238, the kings of the land with the abundance of your wealth and your merchandise. Verse 34. Now you are wrecked by the seas. In deep waters, all your merchandise, got to turn a page, and all your assembly in your midst has fallen. Verse 35. All the inhabitants of the seacoast are appalled over you, and their kings bristle with horror. Their faces tremble. 7481, and that's dubious here. It's an odd usage. Verse 36, the merchants among the people hissed at you. You have become a calamity, 1091, and never shall be any more. It was the destiny of Zoar to be attacked by the king of Babel. Babel was going to attack and loot that big city. So that's forecast in these dirges and prophecies. And later on it took place. And here's chapter 28. And this is a proclamation against the king of Zoar to Ezekiel. Let me get another hit of water here. Verse 1. The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, verse 2, Son of Adam, say to the prince, 5057, of Zoar, thus says the Lord Yahweh, because your heart is haughty, 1361, and you have said, I am an El, that's 410, that means a little g god. I sit in the seat of Elohim, that's gods, in the heart of the seas. That's what he thought about himself. He made himself a little god. But these were Adamic people. Yet you are an Adam and not an El. See, these were white folks. And Yahweh will punish white folks. You have set your mind as the mind of Elohim. In other words, you think in your mind that you're a god. Verse 3. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. 1840. There is no thing shut up. 5640. That is held dark to you. That's 6004. That means secret and not revealed. There's no thing secret that is not revealed to you. That language in here is archaic. You have to understand that. I'm trying to relate to modern language so we can grasp what they mean. Verse 4. With your wisdom and understanding, you have gotten riches and have gotten gold and silver into your treasuries. Verse 5. By abundant wisdom and trading, you have increased your riches, and your heart is haughty from your wealth. Okay, let's stop right here. Look at the rich people of today. Look at George Soros. How haughty and arrogant is he that he's doing all these things against the white race? Paying for all these non-white immigrants to flood into the white countries. Paying for Black Lives Matter. He's on a par with this guy. This guy's mega rich today. And he's mega evil. The money, he is a corrupt, evil man. And the money only adds to it. Verse 6. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh. Because you have set your mind as the mind of Elohim, and you set your mind like a god. Verse 7, behold, I will bring foreigners upon you. 2114. The ruthless, 6184, of the nations. They shall draw out their swords against the beauty of your wisdom, and they will defile your splendor. They shall bring you down to the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. In other words, you're not going to get away with it. Don't matter how much money you got, you're going to die. Verse 9. Will you still say before your slayer, I am Elohim? But you shall be an Adam and no El, and the hand of the one wounding you. 2490, wounding. Verse 10, you shall die the death of the uncircumcised, 6189, by the hand of foreigners, because I have spoken, declares the Lord Yahweh. Oh, he's going to do this to this arrogant king. And we are in a situation now where we have people that are akin to arrogant kings that think that they can get away with anything because they got a lot of money. And so far they have, but the time is coming when that's going to end. Keep the faith, brothers and sisters. Yeshua Messiah is coming back to wreak vengeance on these people. This is a dirge over the king of Zoar. Verse 11. The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, verse 12, Son of Adam, lift up a dirge over the king of Zoar, and say to him, Thus says the Lord Yahweh, You have sealed up your measure full of wisdom and are perfect in beauty. Verse 13. You have been in Edom, in Eden, pardon me, 5731. That's different Eden. That's the Garden of Eden, different from 5729 in verse 23 of chapter 27. You have been in Eden, the Garden of Elohim. Every precious stone was your covering. The carnelian, the topaz, the nyahalom, we don't know what that is. The tarshish, 8658. The shoham, we don't know what that is. And the jasper, the sapphire, 5601. Now that's sapphire in English. It's sapphire in Hebrew. See, we get these Hebrew words in English. Sapphire, sapphire. The nofek, we don't know what that is. And the emerald and gold. The workmanship of your settings and your sockets were prepared the day you were created. Okay. This is verse 14. We don't know what this means. It's considered corrupt. And I'm not going to try to translate it because the meaning is unknown. You, as in English, Mimishak Kerub Sokak. What it says in the Hebrew, and we don't know what that means. I have set you. You were on the holy mountain of Elohim and walked in the midst of the stones of fire. That's unknown. Verse 15. You were blameless, 8549, in your ways from the day of your creation until unrighteousness, 5766, was found in you. All right. The tale of Lucifer falling from heaven. He was created as an archangel until unrighteousness was found in him. And then he had a war in heaven and he got kicked out. They're comparing this guy to Lucifer. Pardon me. Verse 16. In the abundance of your trade, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as profane from the mountain of Elohim, and I will destroy you, O Sokak, Kerub. Again, we don't know what Sokak means. From the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 17 of chapter 28. Your heart was haughty because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom over your splendor. I have cast you upon the ground. I have set you before kings so they may see you. Instead of seeing him as a omnipotent potentate, he's just a man. Verse 18. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the abundance of your iniquities, by the unrighteousness of your trading, usury. Therefore, I brought forth a fire in your midst. It has devoured you. I put you as ashes upon the ground in the sight of all that see you. Verse 19. All that knew you among the people are appalled at you. You have become a horror and never shall be any more. Now here is a proclamation against Zidon. And starting at verse 20 through 26, that's 20 through 26, you can reference Joel 13, verses 4 through 8, Zechariah 9, verses 1 and 2, the book of Matthew 11, verses 21-22, and the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, that's 21, Son of Adam, set your face against Zidon, 6721, and prophesy against it. Verse 22, and say, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I am against you, O Zidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of you, and they shall know that I am Yahweh when I have executed judgment upon her and be sanctified in her. Verse 23, I will send forth pestilence, 1698, and blood into her streets, and the fatally wounded, 2491, shall fall in her midst by the sword upon every side, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. Verse 24, and there shall be no more a prickling, 3992, briar, 5544, or a painful, 3510, thorn, 6975, to the house of Israel from all that are around that despise them. He's punishing all these nations that have been against Israel with the king of Babel. He's punishing Israel too, but he's punishing all their oppressors. And they shall know that I am the Lord Yahweh. And verse 25 starts a future blessing for Israel. Now see, he's going to disperse everybody, and then this is going to happen. Verse 25, thus says the Lord Yahweh, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in the sight of the nations, that's the non-Israelite nations, then they shall dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. Verse 26, and they shall dwell in safety in it, and shall build houses and plant vineyards, yea, they shall dwell with security when I have executed judgments upon all that despise them all around, and they shall know that I am Yahweh their Elohim. Now this continues with proclamations against Israel's foes in chapter 29. How many verses is 29? 21 verses. I can do this. Verses 29:1 through 32:32, you can reference Isaiah 19:1 through 25 and Jeremiah 46:2 through 26. So this is going to go 29 and 30 and 31 and 32. It's going to be a long list of proclamations against enemies. Chapter 29, verse 1. In the 10th year, in the 10th month, in the 12th day of the month, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Mitzrayim. Speak and say, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, the great crocodile, 8577, that lies in the middle of his rivers. That's the Nile rivers. There are two branches of that. Who says, my river is my own. I made it for myself. Verse 4. I will put hooks in your jaws, and I will make the fish of your rivers to cling to your scales, and I will bring you up from the middle of your rivers, and all the fish of your rivers shall cling to your scales. And the fish of the rivers is the figurative of the people of Egypt. verse 5. And I will forsake you in the wilderness, you and all the fish of your rivers. That's all their people. You shall fall upon the face of the fields. You shall not be assembled nor gathered. I have given you for food to the living creatures of the land and to the birds of the sky. They would be carrion on the ground. Verse 6. Because Babel was going to invade Egypt and wipe them out. The king of Babel was going to attack all these cities. These are all going to be done by Babel. Verse 6. All the inhabitants of Mitzrayim shall know that I am Yahweh, because they have been a staff of reed to the house of Israel. That's a weak reed that is unreliable. On 29:6, you can reference Isaiah 36:6. Verse 7, when they grasp you with a hand, you broke apart and tore open all their shoulder. And when they leaned upon you, you broke in pieces and made all their loins to shake. That means they shook their confidence in because they trusted in you, and you broke their confidence. Verse 8. Therefore thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I will bring a sword upon you. That would be the sword of Babel. And cut off Adam and beast from you. See, they were still white at that point. And the beasts were their two-legged beast slaves. Verse 9. And the land of Mitzrayim shall become a devastated ruin. And they shall know that I am Yahweh, because he said, the river is mine and I have made it. Verse 10. Behold, therefore I am against you and against your rivers, and I will make the land of Mitzrayim utterly waste and devastated from Migdol. That means lower. It's a fortified city on the northeast border of Egypt. To Savannah. 5482. That's Syene on the southeast border of Egypt toward Cush. Even to the border of Cush. Okay, it is not Ethiopia. It's a different Cush. Verse 11. No foot of Adam shall pass through it, nor foot of beasts shall pass through it. Okay, what type of beasts have feet? That's two-legged beasts. Neither shall be it inhabited 40 years. Verse 12, I will make the land of Mitzrayim devastated in the midst of desolate lands, and her cities among the cities laid waste shall be devastated 40 years, and I will scatter the Mitzrayim, that's the people of Mitzrayim, among the nation, and will disperse them through the countries, just like he did Israel. Further, thus says the Lord Yahweh, at the end of 40 years, I will gather the Mitzrayim from the peoples among whom they were scattered. Verse 14, and I will restore the captivity of Mitzrayim and will cause them to return to the land of Pathros, 6624, that's the south land of Upper Egypt, to the land of their origin, 4351, and they shall be there a lowly kingdom, 8217, that means humble. In other words, their glory is over. All the big kings and pharaohs, that's done. Babel is going to wipe them out and subjugate them. Verse 15. It shall be the lowest of kingdoms. It shall not exalt itself any more above the nations, because I shall diminish them, 4591. So that they will not rule over the nations any more. And he did that. Verse 16, and it shall be the confidence of the house of Israel no more, which brought to remembrance, 2:1-2, their iniquity when they look after them, but they shall know that I am the Lord Yahweh. They're going to be no more alliances. And the reason of that is when they went to Mitzrayim, they were corrupted by their pagan gods. And all the nations that did this to Israel are going to be destroyed. This is Nebuchadnezzar's conquest, verse 17. And it came to pass in the 27th year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, caused his army to serve a great service against Zor. See, there he is. He conquered Zor and devastated it. Every head was made bald and every shoulder rubbed bare. The pagan practice of shaving heads and stuff and the shoulders rubbed bare from carrying a load and carrying loads on their heads as servants. Yet he had no wages, 7:9-3:9, for his army, for Zor, for the service he served against it. Verse 19. Therefore thus says the Lord Yahweh. Let me get a drink of water here. Behold, I will give the land of Mitzrayim, did we just talk about, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel. He shall take her multitude, that means as a whole people, and despoil her spoil and plunder her booty, and it shall be the wages for his army. I give the land of Mitzrayim as wages for which he served against it, because they did it for me, declares the Lord Yahweh. He was using the king of Babel, Nebuchadnezzar, as a tool to punish all these other nations and to punish Israel at the same time. And later on, he's going to devastate Babel. They're a useful tool right now, but they're not his favorite people. In that day I will cause the horn of the house of Israel to spring forth. 6779. The horn is 7161, and that's a symbol of fortune, power, and political influence. And I will give you the opening of the mouth in the midst of them, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. Now he's talking to Ezekiel. In that verse, he will open Ezekiel's mouth, in prophecy in the midst of Israel. Remember that he was bound silent in the early chapters of the book. Well, that finishes that chapter 29. We got her in. I still have a little bit of time. We'll start on 30 tomorrow. And that'll be Wednesday. There are a lot of parallels between the rich people of today and some of these kings that are going to be destroyed in this book. They're doing the same thing. They're haughty. They're arrogant. They are this. They are that. They just don't know when they're well off. But they're going to be destroyed too. Before I get any further, this is the 21st of March. Yesterday was a Sabbath. Today is also a Sabbath. It is the first day of the month of Abib, which is the month of greening, which is the Hebrew New Year. That's the beginning of the year. Happy New Year, brothers and sisters. I wanted to take a little time at the end of the reading. This begins the month of greening when the ears of barley first start to get green, when they start to get green. The Sabbath ends at sundown tonight. Next month is Passover on Abib 14th at sundown. It starts the Passover. That's a high Sabbath. And then we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread after that until the sundown of the 10th. I'm working like mad to pre-record shows so I can get ahead and have all my shows done so I can take off. I'm going to Passover here in Kentucky with all my brothers and sisters, and Eli's going to be there, and just a whole herd of folks are going to show up, and it's going to be a real fellowship, and we'll have studies and preaching and food and fishing and just a joyous time. I keep the feast. It's so very important. But I wanted to let you know, yesterday was the end of last year, and it was a Sabbath. This is the beginning of this year for us, and it is also a Sabbath. So we have a double Sabbath, a Sabbath. That doesn't go with the Gregorian calendar that everybody uses. But we're not everybody, are we? Just a little information for my brothers and sisters. Ezekiel has been tremendously exciting, as was Jeremiah and Isaiah. When I'm finished with the book of Ezekiel, I'm going to get into the minor prophets. A lot of them are going to be just a one-day show, just an hour, because they're real short. But getting back to today, we're going to see a repeat of the punishment of the wicked. This is foretold in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. I keep getting everybody to read that, and I can't urge you enough to read that. It tells what happens when the Messiah returns. Grace is ended. Wrath begins. So you don't want to be on the receiving end of Yahweh's wrath. So if you're sitting on the fence with all these things that are happening, now's not the time to be a fence sitter. Not a good time. Because we don't know when Messiah will return. And you don't want to be caught blowing in the breeze. You really don't, brothers and sisters. Please. Sit down, talk it over with your family, and think about it. And turn your life over to Yahweh. Keep his feasts. Keep the fast of atonement. Keep your bloodline pure. Read the word of Yahweh daily with your family. Learn from it. I know I do an in-depth word-to-word study here, because I've got all these notes that I've accumulated and, you know, I have it in print form from years of study. I cannot expect you, while you're trying to survive today, to do this much research. You'd have no life. Well, I've done it for you, and I've got a lot of notations, and I give you information in these word studies that you're not getting anywhere else. Because I can't see it going to waste. I don't want to hold it close to my vest like it's a secret. I want to share it. I have great joy in the word of Yahweh, and I want to share that joy. And at the meantime, exhort to righteousness the fence sitters, the ones that have already come over into Yahweh's camp and Christian identity. They're trying their very best. I mean, it's very hard in this world. But they're making a conscientious effort, and their lives have been changed. And I want that change for your life, too. And so do they. The only so-called denomination, and it's not really a denomination, that teaches the truth and the whole truth is Christian Identity. There's lots of different pastors, and they have different takes on things. But the basic premise is we are true Israel. We need to keep our seed line pure. We need to keep from defiling ourselves with uncleanness. We have to come out from among the Judeo-Christian churches and be separate. We have to walk the Israelite walk in the laws of Yahweh, the teachings of the Torah. In modern day society, people will see us as different and wonder why, and it opens up a witnessing position for you to explain who Yahweh is, because most people don't know who he is, who Yeshua is, they don't know who he is. They know God and the Lord and Jesus, but they don't know even the names, the proper names, of the divine beings, our eternal King, Yeshua, Yahweh is salvation, Yahweh saves, and the Father, Yahweh. It gives you a golden opportunity. So, I'm coming down toward the end here. I just wanted to give you the little tidbit about today being the first of the Israelite New Year, and wish you well, and may the Messiah come soon. Keep the faith, be strong, read your scriptures every day, and love your brothers and sisters as you love yourself. Loving of Yahweh first, and loving of your brothers and sisters, your racial kinsmen, that hinges all the laws and the prophets, as Yeshua Messiah said. So, Shalom Aleichem, that means peace be with you. To all my pure-blooded Israelite brothers and sisters out there, may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I will talk to you tomorrow on Wednesday, the 22nd. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.